Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to The Miracle Within You, the show at the intersection of psychology, medicine, and spirituality that considers how the mind and body interact with each other to influence health and healing. With years of experience as a practicing psychologist in the health and wellness fields, and as a writer covering amazing stories of healing, I will explore with my guests how numerous factors influence our lives and our health. Thank you for listening. Welcome to this episode of The Miracle Within You. And today I'm delighted to have with me, all the way from Colorado, Mark Intrakin, who is a very experienced coach and behavior change person who makes a big impact in people's lives across organizations and individuals. Mark Intrakin, who obviously anyone whose name ends K-I-N, is outstanding. And again, my name's Dr. Howard Rankin. So let's move forward. Let's not waste any more time on silly jokes and get to the heart of it. Mark, it's great to have you on the show. And as the listeners know, I only have one set question, which is a little bit about how did you get to be where you are today? And as we discussed beforehand, don't take 2.5 hours, because I'm sure you could. Few minutes telling people your trajectory.
Okay, Dr. Rankin, thank you so much. And it is a pleasure to be here. I'm very honored. I have not heard that before about the K-I-N on the end, but I do appreciate that. Thank you so much, Dr. Rankin. As you said, I am Mark Intrakin. And how did I get here? Well, as quickly as possible, it started out when I was just a young kid. And born in southern Mississippi, when I was about 7 years old, we moved out of Mississippi because of some of the racial tensions and looking for a job for my dad, not for me at 7 years old. And we moved out to southeastern New Mexico. And I went from somewhat of a more Black community to a more Hispanic community. And I didn't understand that at that age, what I was doing, going through it. And then, of course, went to school. Played basketball. I'm 6'2", not that tall, but tall enough to play forward, and enjoyed a lot of sports with people of different colors. And I always wondered about that when I was growing up. And then when I was 18 years old, I was injured in an automobile accident right after high school. It was critical. I went through the windshield of a pickup truck, have some major scars inside my head, hand, my back. Didn't think I was going to live. I did recover. Thank you. Thank the good Lord. But one thing that happened while I was there is I had to have 9 pints of blood. And here I am in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And where's this blood coming from? Did I think at the time, or maybe my parents, did they think at the time, oh, they're going to go back to Lovington and pick up some good blood there from some middle income, white male, no tattoos, doesn't smoke, educated? No, that's not the way it works, Dr. Rankin. What happens is you get the blood that whoever donated that blood is what keeps you alive. Do you think my parents cared? Is this the right blood for him? No. They thought, how do we keep my son alive? And that's what's important. That's what we all need to know, that there are only 4 blood types or 4 blood groups, A, B, A, B, and O. Now, of course, the O negative, it can go to anyone. The O positive and go to the positive blood group, so I could have that, or the A positive, which I am. But people don't think about how we are all one with 4 different blood types, blood groups, and we thrive. We live by knowing that about each other. And that's what I help to share when we end hate, anger, and prejudice all the way around, personally and professionally.
Yeah, that's a very moving introduction. I'm O positive, and I do donate blood. one of the things that I'm grateful that I can do. For a while, I couldn't for a variety of reasons, but now that I can, I really appreciate and I'm grateful that I can.
Thank you.
And do that. That's great, and a wonderful perspective on the unity, really, that we have, not the fake differences. And so that's really important.
It is, and it's a pleasure to be born of the parents that we're born from. I mean, we are what, a 1 in 1,000,000, 100 million chance of being born to begin with,
right?
And to be able to enjoy who we are, DNA, and our parents, and that blood type. But then to think that everyone, red, yellow, black, brown, or white, we all need to be professional in each other's sight because we are kin in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How did that influence you? I mean, that happened at a relatively early age, although I do think early age experiences do impact us quite a lot. But how did that influence you subsequently? Was it an immediate realization of unity, or how did that work?
No, Dr. Rankin, that's another good question, because let me touch on to another step in that, touch on the hate and the anger and the prejudice. And that's when my now ex-spouse, mother of my children, filed for divorce. And kids were 5 and 6 years old. And it got into a battle in the courtroom during a time when that person, male, won the lottery, and he gave nothing to his spouse, nothing to his children, according to the newscast.
Right.
And that threw America into an uproar. And based on what is fact, what must be fact, it is something that must not happen.
Right.
But how can our judicial system turn around and say, well, then every man, male, father, mother, father, male, female, man, woman, how can that gender all of a sudden be bad all over?
Right.
That's just another set of prejudice, just like someone of a certain color is right or wrong. A certain gender is right or wrong. Well, that's wrong. But I was massacred in the court system because I was male at the time that occurred. It has changed a lot. I have helped improve it. But at that time, again, it was just another form of prejudice that we don't think about.
Yeah. And where we go down, we go into the rabbit hole of binary thinking, which is horrendously prevalent and completely unhelpful, where it's either or. Life is either or. No, it isn't. It's way more than two choices, often two extreme choices. But that is the way the culture is going. And we need more people like you to shine light on the nonsense and the devastating effect that binary thinking has.
And, you know, Dr. Rankin, again, that's one of those ideas that I speak about and coach others on, is where is the value in the decisions that we make or bring forward from someone else's generally opinion, because they're not based on fact. It comes from sometimes a fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence about reality. That's one of my domains, reality focused.
Yes.
Why do we think that? Why do we go binary?
Yeah, because we're, well, a number of things. One is we need to be consistent with our views. Secondly, we want to believe what we want to believe, right? Confirmation bias. Third, we actually aren't taught about this in the school system. Okay, this is essential. How do you think? Now, I realize in particular, you know, K through 12 and even early college years, your brain hasn't fully developed its frontal cortex. But nonetheless, that is no excuse for eliminating how to think. How to think. That is something that is critical. And if people don't have that level of emotional intelligence and understanding, their life's going to be seriously impacted.
It is. And what can we do? And I hope we're both. And thank you for the show. This is awesome. But what we can do to help educate others. Now, I do teach as an adjunct instructor at the University of Denver. So I am able to reach a lot of people there as well, because that's one of the things that we have to think about. How is our school system, primary and secondary, teaching each of us? Because again, I have people in some of my courses that are older than I am. Of course, I have a lot of people that are much younger. But the problem is we have people learning all the time that have a baseline that does not match what you and I are talking about. And many of the people I think in your audience, that ability to think, machines should work, people must think. And when we go through the school system, and I think as you're just saying, where are we learning to think? Where are we learning to be logical in our decision-making process?
I need to send you one of my books, came out 3 or 4 years ago, called I Think, Therefore I'm Wrong, which focuses on...
I would love that.
I will definitely get it to you. Focuses on the binary thinking and why it happens and, you know, all the downfalls of it. And it is critical that there are people like yourself out there teaching people this at any age, because this isn't just about, oh, kids not understanding. It's about massive amounts of the population not able to think clearly, you know, not able to see the dangers of simplistic binary thinking, not able to put their emotions aside and control them so they can rationally explore a topic.
That's very true. And how many times our lovely Facebook tells people something because of opinion from one person or another that has no actuality in it. There's nowhere that anyone said it was, there was any fact-based process in what was stated, but we grab onto it almost like the deadbeat dad syndrome or the anything to do with gender bias.
Yeah,
it's the same thing we pick up from anyone. And when we read it, we get into a point in a conversation, of whatever conversation it might be, or a reporter that can sell a point, that they buy into it just because it's familiar, or at least temporarily familiar. It turns into a comfort level. And if they tell it.
Availability bias, it's what's available to them. And, you know, that's how we work. And so it's not difficult at all today. And it's going to get easier and easier for anyone to get in front of thousands, if not millions of people with total nonsense, no basis in reality whatsoever. And they don't care about that. They're trying to make you angry at somebody, or they're trying to make you love them. And it's going the wrong way down the evolutionary trail.
It does. And that brings up a good point. What is anger? When we talk about becoming angry, what is anger? Well, anger, A-N-G-E-R, is nothing more than actions not gaining effective results. One of the things I speak on, anger, actions not gaining effective results, which takes you back to what I mentioned earlier. Where's the value?
Yes. Yeah.
Has anyone ever received value from being angry? It becomes a story, especially on the news.
Oh, yeah.
But does anyone look professional? Does anyone, would you go out and hire people that are angry if you're not maybe a boxing coach or something? Where does anger ever produce value?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't. And it amazes me that there are all sorts of types of political organizations who react to injustice with anger, which does not help their cause at all. All it does is make people who are already on their side feel good and alienate everyone else. It makes zero sense. And indeed, there's evidence, isn't there, that peaceful protests, one without anger, are the ones that are most effective for a variety of reasons.
But they don't get the news, and they don't put ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox up into the ratings because they had some outlandish story to tell, true or false. And it's in our presidential election right now. What is the majority of news that is coming back about their debate. It's all the negative of each one of them.
Yep.
And then we wonder why our children are negative. Where have they learned to be positive?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, you know, you can look at the politics to see the absolute example of what we're talking about, where, oh, negative ads are the best ones. You know, I've spoken to politicians. I've said, yeah, oh, negative ads are great. Yeah. Try and get people angry about the stupid people on the other side, or love me because I'm a hero. Oh, my God. What an example.
It's those other people. Don't vote for those other people. Those people that we are prejudiced against because we hate, and we hate them. Well, what is hate? Hate is nothing more than having accelerated, troubled expectations. H-A-T-E.
Yeah.
Having accelerated, troubled expectations. It's crazy. It's nothing on fact. It's an expectation that has no grounding. Why do we think that?
Yeah. Well, because somebody who's well known is saying it, you know, and you know, if I had my way, I'd say, don't ever vote for somebody who puts out a negative ad.
Exactly. I would too. And that takes me into another session. And what is a judge? People hear judges all the time. I have the Supreme Court judges making these decisions. What is a judge? Well, in my opinion, a judge is, I apologize if it puts anyone down listening to this program, but a judge is nothing more than another lawyer with 5 or more years of adversarial experience. Well, what's adversarial? Right, wrong, good, bad, likes you, doesn't likes you, likes what you're wearing, doesn't like what you're wearing, doesn't like your attitude. That's the adversarial experience that goes into every courtroom. And we watch these on TV. And we watch how the questioning goes. And those lawyers are bringing out questions that may or may not be related to the crime that they're being held for. Crime, just misdemeanor, felony, right, whatever it might be. But that's what the judge rules upon allowing or not allowing it. And that's all that the jury has to work with.
I know it.
Is that fair and just for all?
No, because again, it's a system based on binary thinking. And when you mention divorce, you know, maybe it's improved a bit, but still the divorce process is still binary thinking. You know, you've got to make your client look like the poor victim and the other person, you know, the devil. That's what you got to do. And that doesn't help the couple at all moving forward at all, right?
And if you look at judges, if you will look at their record, especially in divorce cases, if you look at their judgments from all the other previous divorce cases, they are going to rule one way or the other because that's their own personal bias.
Exactly.
Unless that one of the lawyers is their friend, they're going to rule pretty much the same way every time. The mother has custody, the father has custody, it's always joint custody, it's always this amount of time, it's always this amount of money. They adjust it pretty much the same way for every case. So our judges make a lot of the rulings based on their own personal biases and not necessarily on the care of the children or the rights of the children themselves. And something else I speak on, the grandparents. How many times are grandparents left out in those same divorce situations?
Yeah.
Our judicial system is not designed for a divorce. They should not go to a court system.
No.
Not at all.
No. Actually, it's not designed really for too much, but certainly not divorce. Okay, this is an extremely interesting and valuable conversation. We'll take a very short break, and then we'll be right back with Mark Entrecan.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You today. I'm talking with Mark Entrekin, and we're talking about some really important topics such as binary thinking, emotional intelligence, really key aspects of one's life, and mastering those skills is absolutely a key to negotiating what is inevitably going to be a difficult life. There is no such thing as a perfectly happy, non-stressful existence. Forget it. If you think that's the case, you're wrong. So, Mark, we were talking about how do you get people out of binary thinking? How do you get them to control their anger, their hate, their prejudice, which, you know, as you pointed out, most of the time is simply hypocritical. You know, getting angry at somebody because they were angry at you, now you're angry at them. And my favorite quote, or one of them on this, is Marcus Aurelius, which is, the best revenge is to be unlike him who caused the injury. So how do you do that?
Great question, Dr. Rankin. And I keep saying great question, but the things that you bring up are just excellent discussion points that we all need to reach out and work with. Because to answer your question, that is exactly what I do working with people. I help them learn and understand that what we all learned prior to today is not necessarily the best results. We think of some of the cultures that we have today, especially in the prejudices. I hope to go into more into that in a minute. But the way we think now is the way they thought 500 years ago. And we think, oh, we're the 21st century now. Why is so much of our thinking still in the 18th century? What we must do, and that's what I like your program, that's your miracle program, is we must take on these concepts within ourselves, because we can perform our own miracles in helping ourselves understand, think about what we're about to do before we do it, and understand the value or lack of value in what we're doing. Just for an example, as I mentioned earlier, with anger, action is not gaining effective results. What can a person do to change that? Well, it's easy to say, well, remain calm. Calm, C-A-M, remain calm. Well, what does calm mean? Calm means canceling anger, leading motivation. We have something to think about in our learning. Calm, canceling anger, leading motivation. We can just start thinking this way before we act or react. And then I do get asked quite often, well, you don't ever get angry? Yes. And I joke about it and I say, I have to deal with Microsoft quite often. I'm not an Apple person. I do the Windows. So I do get angry. They put things out there that don't work the way I want them to. And I have to. Emotions.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
It's just how we handle those reactions. My son told me one time, many years ago, but he told me that it seems like you have 10 seconds of madness. And at first I didn't know how to understand that. He said, well, it just kind of goes across your face. I can see you become angry. I can see you become frustrated, but you just kind of let it go. And when he said that, I took that as a compliment. So things that we learned as growing up, when my children were young, I guess that's something that triggered where I am today, because that's the point. If we could learn to eliminate, not just manage, but eliminate that need to be angry or have hate or prejudice, we can eliminate that in ourselves before it gains ground, before it gets traction. That helps us eliminate that need that we built inside of us from yesterday's learning.
Yes. One of my favorite stories about this is a student was learning meditation from a guru, and they started a session. Halfway through, the student looks up and he saw the guru kind of scowling and grinning. And at the end of the session, he said, "Guru, can I ask you a question?" He said, "You know, I saw you kind of your facial expressions were changing there halfway through." And the guru said, "Oh, yeah, I was laughing at my anger." Okay. Mm. That you can, just because it's an emotion, you don't have to have it control you and take over. Right. You can look at it objectively. You can look at it objectively and say what it is. Oh, this is an alarm. And the alarm is, I think with anger, I have been treated unfairly. Okay, right? Now, turn the alarm off and deal with the problem. Don't get caught up in the alarm, right?
That's right. Don't get caught up in the, it's hurting your ears now. That alarm's going off. Your ears are already hurting. It's definitely too loud.
And you're missing the point.
Right. You want to first think about, why am I becoming angry? Why do I have that feeling of hate? What's creating that prejudice? What is it that is igniting my internal thought that I need that? Because we don't. Nowhere, no time have we, I think, enjoyed anyone being angry at us.
Nope.
We copy it,
right?
But we didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Why do we think that is still a good idea going forward?
Yeah. And it is living really in the primitive cortex where, you know, these heightened emotions, stress, fight, rage, anger, are designed to help you in your survival. But we're way beyond that now. We're not reptilian. We're not primitive, or relatively so. But we will get primitive if all we're depending on is core emotions and instinctively reacting without using the power that human beings potentially have, which is to control that.
We are only as learned as we desire to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if we fight that learning, if we don't want to learn to be better, if we don't want to improve, we're not going to. So that idea of building upon the better side of what we learn, we talk about the binary thinking. Let's think about the two sides, if we are being binary, and which one provides the best result, the greatest value.
Right, the greatest value. Interestingly, and you've been mentioning prejudice, which obviously comes into this a lot. The first essay I ever had to do, in college, Nottingham University in the UK, was how may intergroup conflict be reduced? And the answer was by getting together, right? And getting to know people, not a stereotyped image of what people are, because that's the problem. If you don't interact with people and you get all this nonsense about them, you have the stereotyped image. All pink people are like this. All yellow people are like this. And it's, they're 99 point whatever percent the same as you, right?
That's exactly right. We are all the same. I have shirts I'm putting together now that talk about that. What's your blood type? And it's this idea of thinking for a second, oh, you're the same as me. I'm the same as you. Because the majority of people, of course, are type O. Type A is next. And groups, some people argue with me, is a type or a group. But the bottom line is, it's all A, B, AB, or O. And that's where it all comes from. There's not as many as the AB. There's not as many as the B. There's a lot of A and a lot of O. So there's a good chance that you have a blood type that is either acceptable by your system, are the same as you in any group, anywhere you go. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you're type O. Did I hear that right?
Yep.
And I'm type A, A positive. There it is, right there. It's a good example of asking your friends and neighbors, what is your blood type? And don't look at just people that are the same color you are, the same career that you're in, the same gender. It's a situation of, well, maybe it's because of income level. No, it's not. As I thought about and talked earlier, what if you don't like tattoos, And the person that gave that blood that could save your child had a lot of tattoos. Would you say, oh no, I don't want that blood. That person had tattoos. That person smoked. I don't want that blood. But if they don't have that blood, that child would die. What would anyone do?
Right.
They would learn to realize that it's not what's the person that gave the blood, because we're all the same. And our thinking, our learning is what makes us do whatever it is that we're doing. We want the blood that keeps our children, our family, our parents, our grandparents, our cousins, just everyone. Keep us alive and let us learn better so we can act better. And when we talk about these things, and I think I mentioned the hate earlier, but having accelerated troubled expectations, take it back to what you said, how do I help people? I help them learn that when they have hate, instead go to help. H-E-L-P, having excellent leadership plans. If we have excellent leadership plans, we can help each other and not hate each other. Same thing with something as simple as giving blood. We're helping each other. When someone hates me, how can I help them with those excellent leadership plans? What can we do helping each other in that process going forward? If we all think about this just a little bit before we act or react, it helps us help each other with those excellent leadership plans. And we are all good leaders if we desire to be.
Yes, and I'm sure that resonates a lot with your work with not just individuals, but also organizations. And I'm sure that's
huge.
That's massive, isn't it?
Even like in the human resources department, they talk about these things, but they don't touch on where I go into it. And that's why I'm trying to get into more businesses, more corporations, more associations, more organizations, but especially get into the seniors in high school, the universities, to be able to know who I can speak to there, to come speak to them and talk about this. Because the sooner we learn it, the sooner we can end it, because we can terminate hate.
We've got to stop here for a brief commercial break, but afterwards, I'd like to dive in a bit more into some of the other tools and techniques you use to help people get away from this binary primitive thinking into something much more rational and intelligent. So let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today, I'm delighted to be talking with Mark Intrakin. We're having a very important discussion about actually what might be one of the most important miracles within you, which is your ability to manage primitive cortex, primitive thinking, and the strong emotions that go with it. So, Mark, you've been talking about the work you do individually with organizations, really trying to help people get control of their emotions and their thinking. And obviously you talk to them about that and you get them thinking about different situations. How else do you try to get them to see the importance and practice these important skills?
That's a great point, Dr. Rankin. And if you don't mind, can I play with something that you just mentioned?
Sure.
Use the word trying to help. I am not trying. I am helping people with their help. And again, as we talked about, it's not me. I'm not looking for any stars or awards or anything more than just please listen and let's talk about what we can go do going forward. Because if you're trying, that means you're doing something. If you're trying, that means something's done. If you've tried, you have a percent complete. And this is what I work with people on, as you talk about, if they have a problem with anger or with hate or with prejudice, if they have a problem with communication, which is what I want to go into here in a second, collaboration, what they have to do is, well, I'm going to go try to lift the Empire State Building. Well, sure, you could go up the Empire State Building and maybe find a window there and you could lift on it. Is there any possibility that you're going to get a percent complete? No, absolutely not. What you want to do is to be able to understand what you're up against, what you're working with. So when you talk to someone, and that's why I kind of joke on that word trying, and my better half, my sweetheart, she uses that word trying a lot. And I joke with her on it. The same thing, because if you're trying, how much have you completed? Well, I'm going to do it next week, or I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm trying to do it. No, get that word trying out of there. But in communication, how much do you understand? As we kind of joked earlier about my little acronyms with anger, hate, and prejudice, but they're ways to remember. So when we have communication, when we collaborate, that collaboration, how can we remember the things that we do want to and need to remember? So I talk to people about where they are in the process. First off is that realization that I don't want to be angry. I don't want to show anger. I have no value in hating anything. And I don't, we don't. So I help people understand through communication what each of the terms mean that they're thinking about. Because sometimes we look at the words and, well, that's not what I thought it meant. Well, what did you think anger meant? Well, I thought anger meant when somebody was out breaking windows or beating on somebody or something like that. Well, that is anger. But that doesn't take anger away from throwing the glass across the kitchen. That doesn't take the anger from yelling at your child. How much more, and I think you mentioned an example of this earlier, how much more beneficial, instead of yelling at the child, to ask the child, is there a reason you did that? Put some ownership back into what is said. Put some ownership back into the understanding of what we are doing. And I use the child in that example, but do it to me. If I'm angry, ask me, is there a reason that you're angry right now? Is there any control that you have over that? Canceling that anger leads motivation. So if we're angry, we can cancel the anger, motivate ourselves, but we can't motivate others. We can help others build that motivation within themselves, but we can't motivate them. But if we cancel that anger within ourselves, it helps us grow that ability to eliminate anger. That's the same thing with help. Leadership plans, instead of hate, help. Build leadership plans within ourselves to be able to stop and say, why do I hate that? And I know we can say, oh, I hate it when it rains on my parade. Yes, I do too. But did I bring an umbrella?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know.
So we're talking to people and helping them understand the terms that we sometimes use daily. Mm-hmm. What is the problem? Well, sometimes it's understanding. Mm-hmm. When we think of things, well, how do we break it down? I have a BIDWIDGID, BIDWIDGID, break it down, write it down, get it done. Break down any kind of angers that you may have. Break down any hate that you may have created or learned from someone else. Because I said, I didn't create it. And they're right. They didn't. We learned it. It's usually from culture. Mm-hmm. But what do? We break it down. We write it down and we get it done. We want to get that out of there. Once we get it done, we want to make sure that we eliminate any of the issues that are bothering us. And as you say, how do we do that? Well, I have a 7-week program that helps people get beyond those issues. And we talk about the hate, ending hate, anger, and prejudice, EHAP. And we put a daily, weekly, monthly pattern together to help us get beyond those feelings that, again, have no value. We've talked about before, when has anger ever truly, well, it made him act, he made her act. Well, yeah, could you have got that person, that child, to act without the anger? Would you have felt better if someone was angry with you? Or would you have felt better if someone was politely asking you a question?
Yeah, absolutely. Getting people to think, because so much of this is automatic. It happens in nanoseconds, resonates through their body, their brain. They're right up there. They haven't even thought about it. There is no thinking. It is just habitual. It's instinctual. They have no control over it. And this is about getting control of your life. There is absolutely no question about that, right?
And understanding, why are we out of control to begin with?
Yeah. What's so great about being out of control? Right? Yeah.
But we need to ask.
Yeah. And so you obviously have exercises. And you say, did you say you have a course on this?
My next course starts October 8th. I'll put out the webinar starting September 3rd. But I have a course, a 7-week course on achieving unity. It'll be ending anger, hate, and prejudice, because we'll be caring, helping, and including others, which a lot of times we don't do. And it's a problem that we have even in our elementary schools, kindergarten even, ability to help include each other. But of course, the course is for adults. It'll start on October 8th. It'll go for 7 weeks, 1 hour per week. It'll be a recorded session. You'll be able to keep the recordings. So I'll have those available for you. It's only $297, and I'll have it out on the web very shortly.
Okay. And where will that be? You have a website, I presume, which is?
Of course. www.achievingunity.com.
Yeah, that's great. So
you just think Achieving Unity. It'll take you to markintrican.com. But I have other ones. As you mentioned my acronyms, I try to have as much fun as possible in what we're doing, because it is difficult at times. But if we can make more fun out of it, you can also go to www.whatthefrustration.com.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that'll take you to me also. Because I take it out, because a lot of the things that we do, and this may match some of the things you're talking about with the miracles that we produce within ourselves, a lot of our actions are because of internal frustration. So whatthefrustration.com. People say, what the frustration? Turn frustration into fascination. And that's what can take us to the level that we want to be, instead of being stuck in that binary world of the negative. Instead, let's take it to the positive and be able to take us to where we want to be, instead of where we feel we have to be.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Where we have automatic, instinctive responses that we just think that's part of who we are. That's my personality. That's my reality. That's my whatever, that's who I am. And so much of that is total BS. You know, the question is, where did you get that idea? Who told you that? Was it true then? Is it even true now? You know, it's crazy.
Just on the fun side again, my mother and I battled all the way through high school. Oh, nothing physical, but just arguing what she wanted me to do and her views on life as being as a high school student and her views. And we battled. But after high school, got into college later, I've got 3 older brothers, an older sister, and a bunch of nephews. And they say, you're just like your mom. And of course, I fight that right away. No, mom and I, we didn't agree. But they're right. So many things, because of what I learned from her, I actuate some of those same items because I became comfortable with them. It became part of my own culture, and only once I identified it within myself was I able to improve to where I wanted to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so true. One of my favorite stories from my clinical practice was I had a guy who married a woman, and she had a teenage son who was a problem. But this guy wasn't backing down. I mean, he laid down the rules, he'd enforce the rules. You're not doing this, you're grounded, what have you. And obviously a lot of tension. Well, fast forward 5 years, this guy's gone to college. And he comes back, and one afternoon they're sitting down, and he says, "Dad, when I was a teenager, I hated you, but now I want to thank you. I want to thank you." That this guy went on to be one of the youngest Rangers in the Army. And yeah, wow. There are times that's what
thank him for the service.
Yeah, well, there are times when his parenting was important. It was tough, but it was important. To show people that your ideas are not based in any reality.
And we need to learn our limits. We've got to find times to draw the line. We've got to learn what is the good and what is the bad. And if we don't know where that line is, we don't know which side we should be on or should be walking that line, walking that fence. We need to learn that. And it sounded like that parent helped.
Yeah.
In defining where those lines must be.
Yeah. And I think that's the difficult job of parenting, but it's the necessary job of parenting, is providing the boundaries and the rules and teaching and explaining those, not just getting mad or angry or telling your kid off. Put it in the context that they will learn from it and understand it, right?
I like that. Very true. And be able to talk with them. Again, back to that communication and collaboration, which was a relationship I had with my dad. He would talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very close. But the only thing he did was listen. He gave me, I should say the only thing.
No.
He listened more. So he actually helped me come up with a better answer the majority of the times. He didn't tell me where that line was. He helped me see it for myself. And then draw my own line to be on the better side.
That's right. He gave you the tools. How do you handle this situation? Right.
Exactly.
In a very positive way, not just that. Yeah. What have you? Yeah. And I have a memory of that. My son, when he was in high school, he was in the ROTC program, subsequently went up, served 10 years in the Army.
Thank you for his service.
He's amazing. He was in the ROTC program, and actually he was the cadet commander. And what that meant was sometimes he'd have to stay late at school or get there early. And in South Carolina, you have a license when you're 17, but you can only drive during daylight hours. And so a lot of the kids just ignored that. And he said, "Dad, do I?" And I said, no, you can't. He says, "You can't drive. So what are you going to do about that? There must be a way around it." So he went to his commanding officer, who wrote him a letter. He went to the DMV, and they gave him an exception to be able to do that. And I said,
smart.
That's how you do it. All right.
You don't
have to take the law. You find a way to do it. Right. And so that is so, so important. Mark, and for those of you who've been listening, Mark stands for Mark's acronyms resonate knowledge. Okay, Mark, M-A-R-K. Mark's acronyms resonate knowledge. Mark Entrekin, you've got all sorts of websites. Where have there been some websites we haven't mentioned? Have we mentioned what they are?
I do have quite a few websites, but the best one is www.achievingunity.com. And that will actually take you to www.markentrekin.com, but Achieving Unity is easier to spell. That's how I share it.
That is true, and probably easier to remember and more powerful as a communication tool, right?
Excellent. It is, very much so. But as I mentioned, if you want to, you can go to www.whatthefrustration.com or www.whatthefascination.com.
Okay.
Because your program, Dr. Rankin, is fascinating about helping us understand the miracles of life that you and I and everyone listening can accomplish to make the world a better place.
Well, thank you, Mark, and on those great comments. I just want to thank you again for your presence today. This is awesome. We'll have to do another show again.
Be honored.
And just again.
Can I give you one more acronym?
Please.
Okay. If you want to call me, number is 303-368-7354. And that is 303-FOCUSED, FOCUSED. 303-362-8733. But just think, 303-FOCUSED. And we will find the right way by focusing on the path ahead of us.
That's great. I bet you have more domain names than I do. No, man.
I do have a few.
Thank you.
It's all about understanding and being helping us all understand. I'll tell you, as I mentioned earlier, and I don't want to go over time here, but as an instructor at the University of Denver, there are times when I get into some of these classes, and I teach a master's level program, and after a class, sometimes I wonder, I taught them a lot today, but I'm not sure if they didn't teach me more. Their story about what they've learned and what they are building in their own life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you again. I'm sure this has been great for the listeners. And listeners, don't forget, we do have a YouTube channel, The Miracle Within You, which does have occasional video clips of the guests we have on the show. So check that out. And we'll see you next time, or listen or hear you, or you will hear us next time on The Miracle Within You. And again, thank you, Mark. Join me next time when I continue to explore the power of the mind-body and how it can be employed to enhance health and healing.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.